Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our conversation continues with Rear Admiral James Shannon, commander of the Naval Surface Warfare Center. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Kevin Green. Admiral, you mentioned one of the changes needed in the Navy's approach to science and technology is to build a culture of innovation based on collaboration. What does the Navy need to do in order to forge this culture of innovation?
Well, first, you know, I think what we always need to remember and remind ourselves every day that the Navy needs to remain flexible and adaptable to change. Whenever you look at history and you look at navies that didn't succeed and are no longer maybe with us today, it's because they did not remain flexible and adaptable to change. So that's good news is that that is a part of our Navy. We tend to always come up with innovative ways that are not written in the book. And I think we need to maintain that sort of thing. But yesterday's requirements were fairly stable and understood. We understood the threat. We knew how to deal with it. It was a single threat in many cases, monolithic. There was clear lines of control and accountability. But today, those kind of options are relatively few. And I think what we really need to understand is watch what's going on with the rest of society, because the Navy is a microcosm of society, and we need to not be so rigid or shouldn't be rigid with our military view of things and really see how the society is working. And you see that with social networking, you know, things like Facebook and blogs, and that's type of communication is starting to creep into our workplace. And I think it's a very good thing because it's sharing ideas. It's a good opportunity to be innovative and to figure out things before you actually have to bring them up for a decision. One of our commands out in Port Hueneme is actually creating their own internal Facebook kind of page, just building off of a good idea. But I would tell you all of our warfare centers are trying to figure out the best ways to do that.
If you don't mind me asking, we have interviewed Admiral Allen, Thad Allen of the Coast Guard, and he is really a champion of social networking and has the iCommandant blog. Do you have anything similar to that?
I'll tell you, I'm sort of concerned about some of the things that I do, like any parent that I see on Facebook. And before I start applying myself to that technology, I want to make sure I understand it fully. What I do like, though, is the energy that I see on it. And I like the fact that it's fairly open and there's a way that you can control the information. I would say that Admiral Allen is, you know, he is a great leader and he's leading the way. And guys like me need to follow him. And I need to figure out how to do it better.
Well, you mentioned earlier the sort of visionary role of a chief technology officer. Would you tell us what role that part of your responsibility plays in building the culture of innovation?
As far as the chief technology officer, I think what my main role is to get people out of their comfort zone. That has been one of the ways I've approached it recently. We have some great scientists, some great engineers in the Warfare Center family of commands, but they've been fairly comfortable in how they've tried to solve problems. And they've always talked to the same people. What I'm trying to do is to stretch that a little bit, to get beyond their comfort zone and to challenge them to share their ideas with other people than they may have. Because when they do that, their ideas are going to be challenged. And maybe the things that they think are a great idea are maybe not so great. But when you bring all the ideas together and you listen to what people have to say, I really think we will get a better product at the end. So I'm pushing that. I'm pushing people beyond their comfort zone.
Well, you're clearly very close to your customers who encompass the entire Navy and other partners within the Department of Defense as well. So how do you get an organization the size of the Navy, I mean, well beyond the technical community, to change the way that it thinks and behaves to forward or to improve innovation and innovative processes and approaches?
One of the best ways we've been doing this for a while is education, is get out there and make sure that we get the information out there that we want people to behave the way we want them to behave. We have to reward people for doing a good job. We have to reward people when they are paving new ways of doing business. And those are the ways I think we need to get there.
It's often been said that innovation and technology need to move away from the silo model and toward a more collaborative and multi-platform model. What forms of collaboration need to happen to drive this kind of innovation?
Well, the silo model is a traditional top-down approach, and if you want innovation to work, I think the way you need to do it is you need to work from the bottom up. Diversity in our workforce is the way we need to do it. Open architectural implementation is a big part of that. And all open architecture means is not being a closed architecture. It means sharing ideas. It means allowing people to see what's going on. One of the things that we have not done well in the Navy or in government is control the data, though. We have to make sure that the data that we buy, we share throughout industry, throughout academia, and with other services. And controlling that data is something we haven't done well. So we have to understand the data we have and figure out a way to make sure it's available to everybody out there. We have to improve the government contractor relationship by making people more accountable to each other. So it's not just a one-way street here. The government has to be accountable to industry as much as industry has to be accountable to government. When I speak to people in industry, they sometimes feel like it's only the government firing the questions at them and blaming them for whatever product it is. The government has to stand up and be accounted for as well. I think we just need to share ideas and technologies that in the past were held as proprietary because it was easy to say they were proprietary. You know, some things we need to challenge as being whether really proprietary or not.
Well, as a defense technology leader, I think it's fair to say that you're one of our leading subject matter experts on open architecture. In your view, how well has industry responded to your call for more of a technical approach that folds more into the open architecture model?
I think that's a great question, and how you answer it depends on where you sit in this play we call open architecture. Small businesses have aggressively come out and addressed open architecture because they are looking at this as an opportunity for them to be able to play without having a larger company suck them in and tell them how to do the business. Small businesses, by their nature, really want to be independent. Then there's also companies that have not traditionally played in defense industry are looking at opportunities to compete, and they're looking for fair competition. And the only way that can happen is if they can have the same access to that information that in the past may have been shut out to them. And then there's the traditional partners that we have with industry. I think to a large measure, I give them credit for listening to us and trying to figure out really how to address this openness. At the same time, they don't want to lose their proprietary goods because they have a lot of investment in those sorts of things. So we're working really closely with them to try to understand, you know, how we could branch out, how we could be more collaborative. At the same time, it's very important, in my point of view, that everybody that's a player has the ability to make a profit, to be able to stay in the game as long as they want to stay in the game. So not everybody is equally addressing the open architecture initiative. It depends on the business model for each industry that's involved. The old way of if you got a niche product, keep everybody out still applies if that's your business model. But we're most interested in the Navy is getting the best ideas, getting the collaborative approach. And the other thing you got to recognize is the billions of dollars the taxpayers have invested in the products that we buy, we ought to own some of it. We ought to be able to claim that we own that data because we're the ones putting the money behind it. So that's one of the challenges I have in some of my conversations I have with industry members. That's one of the things that I like to bring up is we ought to get something out of it. Now, on the other hand, government has not done a good job controlling that data and controlling that information and making sure that we share it with all vendors who are qualified to do that kind of work. There's a lot of responsibility to be shared, but it takes a lot of energy and it takes everybody participating and not trying to go back to the old way of doing business.
That's a very powerful statement, and you really seem to believe that collaboration is an important element of innovation. Within the surface Navy, how is that community moving to address collaboration and innovation as a cultural issue?
Well, we regularly meet on the issue, and what my role as a chief technology officer in the Surface Warfare Enterprise is I'm really working with the resource sponsors, in this case, Admiral Frank Pandoff, who's responsible for resources in the surface Navy. And he leads what's called the Future Capabilities Team. And we meet regularly to talk about the different things that we want to invest in and understand how we can link those investments to the strategy that he's trying to follow that the CNO's putting out. So facilitating discussion is really the main thing that we're looking at. We're really trying to understand the total ownership cost. What's the difference between readiness and the actual cost of the systems that we're buying? So it just is a lot of discussion.
Just stepping back a bit, we talked a lot about technology, science, and research, and collaboration, but also innovation. And I was wondering, before you assumed command, or as you anticipated assuming command, was there anything you did to kind of look at the idea of innovation? How are there any lessons learned from different industries, the federal civilian space? Did anything inform you as you took over your current role?
I think we're living in a great age of innovation today just because of what we're all experiencing with the internet. You know, just 10 years ago, we didn't have the same power on the internet. And 15 years ago, a lot of people didn't even know what the internet is. So we're still in the discovery phase, I think, and understanding this kind of innovative power that's out there. And if our head was in the sand and we didn't take advantage of it, then shame on us. So what I've learned is what we have all learned is to be open-minded to different ideas, ideas that are not typical within your own organization. Listen to what people's ideas are and see that there's something behind there and see if you can use them. What has changed from days gone past is we are more open-minded today. We used to only have one way of doing business. Tradition was one of our major core values. I would tell you today, tradition is not a core value. Tradition is very important, but it's not a core value of our organization. So because we have to be adaptable and flexible to that kind of change.
Well, most achievements in government, and especially in the armed forces, is not or not a solo act. Would you elaborate on your approach to empowering your staff, the folks under your command?
Yeah, it's again, a great question. My thing is to always delegate down to the lowest level. And just a short anecdote on that. Recently, I had to go away for 6 weeks of training to what's called capstone training, as training required by law for flag officers and general officers to learn more about what's going on in the military organization. So for 6 weeks, I was away. And when I came back, I realized nobody missed me. Okay? So the fact is we have a very good organization in the Warfare Center, and everybody knows how to do the job for the person one up and one down. And we empower people by trusting people. And that's the biggest thing you have to do in any organization is build trust. We build trust internal to the Warfare Center. We build trust across the whole Naval Sea Systems Command. And whenever that trust breaks down, that's when you find that we have other problems. So you have to always build trust.
What does the future hold for the U.S. Navy's science and technology research? We will ask Rear Admiral James Shannon, commander of the Naval Surface Warfare Center, to share with us when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.